Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Clark of The Ringer. Kevin recently wrote at least two articles that I read about the Browns here in the last week. Kevin, nice work. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Kevin, you know, I want to start with the Sashi Brown thing because one of your two articles obviously talks about the process and talks about Sashi. And Sashi is such a fascinating subject here in Cleveland because I am known as being a lunatic in this town. But here's the reality. The reality, Kevin, is I am the only rational human being in this entire city when it comes to Sashi. And here's why. 90% of this city thinks Sashi was an idiot, had no clue what he was doing, and did nothing right. And they're all wrong. The 10%, probably even smaller, it's probably 95%, 5%, and there's a few people, one or two people that work here or used to work here, think everything Sashi did was right. He's a complete genius, and John Dorsey's just going to screw it up. When clearly the case is in the middle. He blowing it up and stockpiling draft picks was clearly the right thing to do. Clearly, he put John Dorsey in a great position to have assets to get better. On the other hand, he drafted 24 players in 2 years, and very few of them are starting caliber players. Very few. And he passed up on a lot of extremely good players along the way. And while he set them up great, I don't have a ton of faith that he would have been able to build this team as well as Dorsey. So he deserves some credit in my mind, but not as much as some people, and certainly not nothing than a lot of people. Did I say anything unfair there?
No, I actually agree on pretty much every single point. The process worked.
Yes.
But the end of the process was John Dorsey coming in and making the 53-man roster better than it was, better than the one he inherited. That's the important thing. When the Browns pop, and whether that's this year, whether that's next year, when they start contending in the AFC, both guys should get credit. Everyone should get credit. I mean, even – I think that, you know, the process, as I said in the story, has been going on in some ways since the Trent Richardson trade, when Sashi was just down the hall as general counsel. So
that's right.
I think there's a lot, you know, there's an old saying, right? Like, victory has many fathers, defeat is an orphan. The victory of the Browns will have many fathers when it gets sort of sorted out in a couple of years. I completely agree with you. I think John Dorsey, you know, obviously having more draft capital than anybody in history in 2018 is a huge part of the Browns narrative. And you don't get that unless you have Sashi Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, you could argue, I think fans would not agree, but you could make the argument that that Dorsey might not have gone down the road of blowing it up to get himself all those assets. And clearly, I feel that Sashi Brown couldn't have taken it the step that John Dorsey has, that he wouldn't have drafted. I don't believe he would have drafted Baker Mayfield. I don't, you know, there's a lot of moves along the way in the last year and a half that I don't think he would have made.
Right, and that's the great unknowable thing here, right?
Sure.
Is what would have actually happened. And also, how would history have been different? You know, I talked about this in the story, but he traded out, obviously, of the Wentz pick and then the Watson pick.
Right.
And here's my question. I don't know the answer to this. Would you rather have Deshaun Watson, or would you rather have Denzel Ward plus the quarterback you have? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, it all worked out. Because I'd rather have
exactly.
Denzel Ward and Baker. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But so do you give Sashi credit for that because it worked out?
Right.
Or do you still say, like, he blew it on Wentz. But in the long run, it still worked out for the Browns. That doesn't mean he didn't blow it on Wentz or Watson.
Right.
You know?
That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
Firing Sashi as fire general manager was as valuable a fire general manager has ever been because he set it up. He got there. I mean, the employing Sashi and firing Sashi were both hugely valuable things. That's the funny thing about this whole situation.
That's right.
It is very similar to Sam Hinkie in Philadelphia, where both of those things had to happen for the franchise to really pop.
It's 100% true. I don't know. I think a lot of people won't agree with that, but I think you're 100% right. Kevin Clark of The Ringer is with us. And yeah, I mean, you look at now Baker now, and you know, obviously, and you know, I know you wrote another article kind of previewing the season a little bit for the Browns, and you know, Baker is, he fits this city perfectly. You know, you had to have a special guy ultimately and a special personality to be the quarterback. Now, he's got a lot to prove. They didn't win anything yet. And there's a lot of expectations right now, but nothing's been accomplished. But right now, he feels like you couldn't have found a better quarterback for this particular city and this particular franchise, Kevin.
I completely agree. And you know, one of the funny things that I've noticed being there a couple of weeks ago, talking with John Dorsey, and then seeing this week, you know, there was a lot of noise, whether that was the first week of camp or this week with obviously the comments that both Odell and Baker made. And I think that one thing the franchise has gotten very good at, because of the personality, because of someone like Baker, because of someone like Odell, they're extremely good with shutting things out. And that is one of the more underrated and overlooked things when you're becoming a contender, is how much junk you just have to deal with on a weekly basis. Obviously, the Patriots are extremely good at it, but that's an extreme example. And one of the things you notice when you're around a team that's really nationally relevant is how many fires they have to put out. And so I was really impressed with the ability of both of each, Freddie, Odell, and Baker, sort of diffuse everything this week. And I totally agree with you. Baker has the personality to sort of bring up the Browns franchise along with his own development.
And in a way, to me, Kevin, I don't know if you see it this way, but I kind of feel like John Dorsey, Freddie Kitchens, Baker, and even Odell, in a lot of ways, are similar type of guys. They're all kind of brash. I'm not saying they don't react to what you say, especially Baker and Odell, but they're kind of going to say whatever they want, and they may get mad if you criticize them for it, but they're still going to say it. They're all kind of – I feel like they're all in that same vein. Do you see that too or no?
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, I've known John Dorsey going back to Kansas City, and it's amazing. He is, you know, obviously a really smart football mind, and he just doesn't seem bothered by anything on the outside. And I think that's true of everybody. You know, obviously Baker – going to go at some of his critics. Odell's going to go at some of his critics. But I think that at the end of the day, they prioritize football, and they compartmentalize those feelings, and maybe right. They use it as motivation. And some people like Baker need that chip on their shoulder in order to keep going forward. So I understand it. So yes, I agree with you. I thought it was really funny. I talked about this in my story, the second story with Dorsey, where I said, you know, it was a risk bringing in Odell. And he said, well, what was the risk? What was the risk?
Right.
And I, you know, I felt weird because I was like, oh, well, and I had to justify it being a risk, even though I completely agreed with the trade.
Yeah.
I felt it was a risk. But John said, no risk. I mean, he's one of the best receivers in football. He's under contract. They have a staff that can teach and bring all these guys together. And so I think the collective confidence in that building right now is really, really important.
I think the reason for optimism with Beckham, of course it's a risk, you're right. The trade made sense. It's certainly a risk, there's no doubt. But I think when you look at the pieces in place, the fact that Landry's his buddy, the fact that the wide receiver coach was his wide receiver coach in college, the fact that unlike Eli, who was of a – you know, Eli grew up in a football family, was kind of a generation a decade older, if you will. And Baker is of his generation. They kind of into the same things. They like the same music. They've worked out together. They're kind of friends, where I don't think Eli and Odell were ever friends. Is that fair to say?
I do think it's safe to say that Eli and Odell were never friends.
Yeah.
That's correct. I think that's important. And one of the things I think is important, I've thought this maybe for the past 4 or 5 years, but the way training camp happens now, and it's even more important because guys play less in preseason games, there's more veteran days off, there's kind of a load management thing. It is really, really hard to hit the ground running when you have a lot of new faces. And, you know, I feel that way. That's why I think the Chiefs defense is so important right now, because they have so many new guys, they're changing systems, they only have a couple weeks to fix it. The Cleveland Browns are kind of in the same boat there, where they've got a lot of things they've got to hit the ground running with, whether that's new coaching staff, whether that's Odell, whether that's whatever is going to go on with their offensive line. And any cohesion you can get is a huge edge in a league where essentially you can't even practice anymore, because it used to be two-a-days. It used to be, you know, these guys would play entire halves in the preseason. That's not going to happen anymore. So if there's an edge you can get as far as coming together quickly off the field because you guys know each other, you take it anywhere you can get.
You know, last thing, Kevin, we're talking with Kevin Clark of The Ringer. You in your article that, you know, talks about Sashi Brown, you interview, his last name is Thaler. His name is the first name is not coming to me right now.
Richard.
Yep. I'm sorry. So anyway, and at the end of the article, you talk about, like, has anything changed in the NFL? And his thought was basically no. But what drives me crazy, because, like, to me, and this started with baseball, right? Analytics came in, and the old school guys wanted nothing to do with it. And now baseball is all analytics. But I think the smart teams, first of all, just in life, right? Everybody's like, it's either 10 or it's 1. There's no gray area. That's what people are with everything. Where there's totally a gray area. I think the successful teams in any sport use a mix of heartbeat, if you will, personality, people, and analytics. You can't be 100% analytics and zero heart, and you can't be 100% the other way either. I think the smart teams do a little of both, and I can't stand these all. I see Rex Ryan on TV, and he's already saying Kyler Murray's going to stink, and whatever. It's ridiculous. These old school guys want anything different to fail. I feel that way. Do you agree?
So the most interesting quote I got was actually from a GM who didn't want to be named in that story.
Yeah.
And they said that they're always old school football guys, or any football guy, even if they're 35 years old, they're always going to default on saying that kind of Sashi plan can't work.
That's
and
right.
Why? Very simple. Very, very simple. Because if you have those sort of plans, it leaves the door open for whether that's a general counsel down the hall, whether that's a guy from a bank, whatever it is, it leaves the door open for someone getting a job who's not a football guy. So the football guys will always default to we have to be all football guys, 100% football guys, because if you start processing it, all of a sudden you might be out of a job. And I think that's the most important thing you have to remember. When you hear these football guys say the process won't work or whatever, A, it did work, but B, it's almost always job preservation.
Kevin, great stuff. Great work, man. Thanks for joining me.
Anytime. Thanks, Adam.
Kevin Clark.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.